Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
Oh, hello, the internet. Welcome to season 231, episode 2 of the Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. This is the podcast where we take a deep dive into America's fucked up shared consciousness. Buckle your ear belts because it's Tuesday, April 5th, 2022. You know what April 5th is. I'm not a fool. I know what April 5th is because I celebrate this every year because I'm so loyal to it. National Library Workers Day. Shout out all the library workers. Shout out the people who fuck with the Dewey Decimal System. I seize ya. Also, I'd be a fool because I don't know about this day. And more than one person said, hey, man, April 5th, you really got to shout this day out. I said, okay, what is it? They said first contact day. I said, I don't wear contact lenses, but I do like the Jodie Foster film Contact. And the first time I saw it, I can't remember. Is it the anniversary of that? No. It's about April 5th, 2063. Fuck with me, going to the future really quick. All my Trekkies out there, because it celebrates the day the first time Earthlings encountered the Vulcans.
Hey.
So, big day.
Important day in the history. Star Trek, we don't have this day. Okay, we don't have the greatest Star Trek character of all time, Spock.
Right. So is this Spock? Gift. Wait, but this is someone else, though. April 5th, this isn't when they pulled up on Spock. This is
no,
when they met
no.
some other
Spock
Vulcans.
Was birthed after... Because his mom is human and his dad is Vulcan.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Shout out to all my half people out there. Yeah. Dude, half people, like, what's like, we should do like a half, like, half breed fantasy draft. Like, who do you have? Like, you got Blade,
okay.
Fucking Spock, fucking Harry Potter. Isn't Harry Potter half?
I mean, he's half magic, half. Not his mom was Muggle, technically. So, yes.
Right, right. I'm just saying, you know, just for people out there, biracial people out there, you know, we can also celebrate some. Oh, someone said Hermione. Oh, so okay, Hermione. Okay, I see you.
No, Becca. No, Hermione. Okay. Both of Hermione's parents are Muggles. She's a witch, but that doesn't make her from two separate worlds. So it's just like
wait. So is she like a Rachel Dolezal type witch?
But she's not faking it.
Oh, okay.
Sometimes Muggles just birth a magical.
Oh, they do. See, I don't know shit about Harry Potter, so I'm like. I don't know, like, did she just sneak in? They're like, you know Hermione. Like,
it's just snuck
front,
in.
Bro. Do you see the way she said Expelliarmus?
Oh, my.
Okay, God. Anyway, I'm fucking Miles Gray, a.k.a. My new things to eat bananas, whack yellow is too raw, I need that black. That's how I get my potassium. That's how I get my potassium. I start from bananas, B-A-N-A-N-U-S. I start from bananas, B-A-N-A-N-U-S. Shout out to Fighter of the Night, man, for that wonderful Gwen Stefani Holla Back Girl, a.k.a. Yes, because this is all about alternative ways of eating fruit. We talked about eating apples from the bottom up. And other people talk about you don't open your bananas from that like top notch that, you know, that connects all the bananas together. You start from the bottom. That's where the action's at. So a quick reference to that. But I don't need to press that any further. What I do need to press further is introducing my guest host, someone who is just wonderful, is just brilliant, is intelligent, has like knows fucking everything. I said, what the fuck is First Contact Day? And she's like, oh, this is very important. Count on this person to help me not be completely ignorant of everything that's happening in the world. Please welcome my guest co-host, Joelle Monique.
Hey, welcome back to me.
Yes, welcome back to you.
I added myself as a Potterhead in these troubling times of Potterdom. So sorry,
wait, is that bad? You were really rubbing your temple.
It's really frustrating to have loved something so much and to now want to be just so far away from it to the point where you're like, if. I think the ballsiest thing Warner Brothers could, they'll never do it because, you know, capitalism, but they're like, you know what? We're just going to pack up Harry Potter land. Like, we don't deserve it. that's over. We don't want to be contributing to the spread of transphobia in such a vitriolic way. But yeah, it's no longer fun. She ruined it.
Right. It happens.
Sorry, people.
Things change. We all change. You know, we all grow up. Well, let's introduce our guest today. Like, this is somebody who's come on the show on the regular, been down since the earliest episodes. And, you know, one of the smartest comedians out there, not just because their observational humor is just cutting and razor sharp. It's actually because they have a doctorate in neuroscience. Okay. You may have seen their stand up. I don't know, places like Comedy Central, maybe Amazon Prime. Maybe you even heard the newest album, Midnight Oil. Well, please welcome to the show the OG of DMV license. What is that? Driver's license photo pranks. Yes, I almost had a flawless intro. John O'Zale!
Hey, Zach Gang. Good to be
back. What's up, Jono? Yeah. How are you?
I'm well. Check out that new album. It's on, you know, you can buy new websites with just different URL extensions. So it's not .com. Mm-hmm. It's like .golf anymore. So I simplified it. You can get my album on jokes.farm. Or my favorite, Bible.recipes. Smash that HTTP, HS, whatever, / Bible.recipes, and get that Midnight Oil. Bam, bam, bam.
Are there any Christian moms emailing you angrily yet? Being like, there are no recipes on here. Right. And if there were, God would not like them.
Oh, no.
I want that He is Risen 3-layer dip.
Oh my God.
For the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I won't tell you what I put in the sour cream. That's proprietary.
Oh no.
I was just thinking, are there Bible recipes?
Well, so one of my jokes in the album, which has made me think of it, is that like there's a rule that you're not supposed to eat owls in the Bible.
Oh.
And it's like, wow, what was happening back in biblical times that they had to get God involved with these bird recipes?
Right. Or is it just like a thing too, where because like, you know, the Bible's written by fucking people who are just like, had, you know, were just like, yeah, this is what I'm pretty sure I heard was going on based on these letters I have. Is like it's like people are just taking shots, just like, you know, like they're subtweeting people through how they're writing the Bible. And they're like, also, don't eat owls, because I went over to Joseph's house. The owl that they were serving there was trash. Don't ever do that shit.
Bunch of Philistines over there.
Right. Be like,
the Pharisees are eating owls. We can't allow that.
Right. Anyway, I don't know. That's how trash. I think of it. What were you saying, Joel, before I was like, wait, Bible recipes?
No, that's a really good question. I would be interested. Bread from olden times doesn't taste good. If you've ever been on one of those museum adventures where like, this is what actual bread would have tasted like back in the day. Horrible. We live in a great time for bread. So I don't even know if I'd want to be eating Bible recipes. They would probably lack flavor.
No.
I wanted to ask Jono about the dog on the cover of the album because it's adorable. And
oh, yeah. It. My boy, Larry.
Larry.
Yeah. So my dog, Larry, he's a half beagle, half Jack Russell. And I exploitatively used him to propose to my now wife.
Yep.
Because I got him a name tag that read, "Will you marry me?" on it. And then on the back, I clarified it was for me and not Larry. And then I put the ring on the collar as well, so she couldn't say no.
So you made your life a real rom-com. Like, you did it. Congratulations.
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
Living the dream.
Mm-hmm. And I see you got some Clippers gear on. Is
that Yeah. Good Clips. Yeah. Kawhi, come back healthy, you know, whenever you're ready.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, L.A., we're not doing too hot right now. But
as a Bulls fan, Kawhi, take all the time you need.
Yeah, honestly.
Heal up, buddy.
Listen, I will drop
them rush you back.
The Clippers slogan for their whole existence. We'll get you next year.
Yeah. Yeah, just wait. Yo, you thought it was this year. So wait till next year. And the Lakers is just don't come here. These people don't know what basketball is, and they'll eat you alive because they don't know what's going on. The Lakers. You know what though? I like the Bulls because I think I might be rooting for the Bulls in the post.
Listen, they're really like the underdog team this year. They're scrappy.
Yeah.
They struggle, but they fight. I love that they're mostly just fourth quarter champions. And like every game, it's like, are they gonna pull off another miracle or not? It's really like heart pounding stuff. It's been fun. I feel like the Bulls, you know, theme trait is like every year we're like, are we back in our Jordan era? Is this it? Are we coming back? Yeah. No, not this time. It's cool. It's fine. We'll get there. We're gonna come back sometime.
I mean, LeVar Ball would believe that Lonzo is the second coming of Michael Jordan. So, I mean, in no way. And he's playing really well. So, and I'm not going to hate, you know, on the Cali native. But anyway, like Anna said in a few episodes, like last week, we're legally barred from talking about the NBA because that's what Jack and I's new podcast, Mad Boosties, is for. See, quick plug opportunity right there. That's how
I see you working it.
Thank you. I'm very tired. Yeah, you working that shit. Let's tell Jono and the listeners what we're going to be talking about before we ask him some questions. First of all, Biden going to the DOJ, sort of having a look around like that John Travolta from Pulp Fiction meme where he's like, what the fuck's going on in here? Are y'all doing anything in here? There seems to be a lot of feelings on the Hill swirling around what Merrick Garland, our attorney general, is or is not doing. Meanwhile, we need to talk about Truth Social because, like, some of the metrics are here. Before we knew it was a bad, like, just the launch was terrible. People were on waiting lists. But now we're starting to see some, like, real hard numbers as to what's going on. And you're like, oh, yeah, this is so bad. It's good. I like that. And then talk about the Grammys. From a bunch of people who didn't watch the Grammys. But I will only talk about the Grammys vis-a-vis my text, like my group threads I'm on. And that's how I kind of gauge what's happening in the world to see what penetrates the group thread for people to talk about. So we'll talk about a couple moments that I then read up on. And then just some quick things about the refrigerator. There's apparently like shit that you should not put on the refrigerator door. Like, it's not good for the food. These are like nuanced little tips about your refrigerator. But when I hear them, I'm like, oh, I didn't really even think about that. So maybe we'll get to that. Or we'll just eat spoiled food like a family would all together. But first, Jono, what's something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
So one thing that I'm really excited about is I just Googled glacier tours near Anchorage because I'm going to Alaska on tomorrow for the rest of the week for a comedy festival called the Before You Die Fest.
Nice. So, Before You Die Fest.
Yeah, which is great. That. Perfect name because, it's one of those things that I wanted to see before I died was Alaska and the glaciers up there. So I was seeing like what glaciers I could see while I'm up there because there's only a certain amount of time we have to see them, period. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So before I die and before the planet dies, I want to see these glaciers. So I'm going to try to get a good glimpse at a big iceberg on land.
I saw the one time I've been to Alaska, went to with my grandparents because old black people love a cruise. We went to Alaska many years ago. And there, when we stopped in Juneau, I got to see the Mendenhall Glacier. And it's seeing a glacier is like equal parts. Like, you're just like, oh, my God, man, fucking Earth, huh? And then the other part is like, oh my God, man, we're fucking Earth, huh? Like, totally.
Oh God.
Because like, yeah, there's just something about seeing, like, you're like, that's like the photos from like even 60 years ago. And you're like, oh no. Like, what happens when the ice cube goes full water? Is that bad? But I'm sure for the science curious like yourself, it's a sight to behold.
Oh yeah. Oh man, I'm looking forward to it. If I can even get there, I haven't booked a ticket yet.
Okay. Well, look, I know there's AK Zeit Gang. Look, if you're in Alaska, you got some glacier tips, hit up Jono. He's a good dude. You know what I mean? Maybe you have a personal glacier you can show him. But yeah, definitely worth checking out. Also, you hear the weirdest shit being talked about at a glacier, like, because typically there'll be like an informational center or like near the glacier, like observation point. And there you hear the wildest takes around climate change, because it's a bunch of people from all over being like, let's check out the glacier. And then you get to it, and then the stuff on the walls are saying, like, due to climate change and the increasing temperatures, this shit is receding. And it's like, look at this thing. You could swipe over to see the change in fucking 10 years even. And that always kicks off like weird intra-family debates. Like the one time I was there, just like this older woman was to her husband. She's like, Bill, this seems so bad. If it goes away, that this could be bad for our grandkids. And they're like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it doesn't really matter. You know, like they say it's going away, but nothing's really changing. You're like, oh.
Oh, Bill, look at the wall. It's right there in front of you. Don't ignore the evidence. You Bill. Know, like,
hit the accelerator.
If you go to Atlanta, that's where the CDC is, and you can go to like the CDC museum within it.
Oh,
and that's like a tourist destination. I'd love to see families go there. It's like, well, you know, they say they cured polio and stuff, but like, you know, we have those wheelchair ramps now. I think it would have been fine if we just didn't vaccinate anyone. Vaccines are overrated. I mean, like, where's, you know, the science is still out on whether they work.
Yeah, right. I mean, and you hear polio's coming back, so I don't know if they're really working, because people aren't vaccinating against it anymore, you fuckwit. But enough of our collective. I mean, that's the thing. I'm sure, like, we should go on a tour of places where it's like you have like these sort of cultural flashpoint kind of places where people are gonna have wildly different takes, but still bother to go there. You know what I mean? Like, you don't give a fuck about the climate, but you want to see the glacier. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. All science is fake, but you're like, yeah, let's check out the CDC. Maybe we can get in an argument. Jono, what's something you think is overrated?
Overrated would be getting married in your 20s. I recently got married in my 30s. And I got to say, the gifts you get, way better. I remember giving people wedding gifts back in the day when I was in my 20s. My normal friends were getting married. I'd go to like Goodwill, get a bunch of plates, you know, anything I could find there. I got one of my best friends a trophy for his wedding. And like, I'm sure, what good did that ever do? But now my friends and family have upgraded my kitchen. It's just like, I'm doing all the Masterclass chef's things now with all my new knives.
Right.
I got good cookware. I just drank some Nespresso from my little big Virtuo thing. It is nice. I gotta say.
Wait, Miles just got married. What's the best gift you got?
Oh shit, the best thing. You know, honestly, it's a set of cutting boards. I really wanted good fucking cutting boards. I had the same fucked up like wood block from IKEA I've been rocking around for ages, and I just can't really do work. And I saw this shit, these like cool like post-consumer made pressed board like things that you could put in the dishwasher, fucking anything. It was just super strong. I have like 5 different sizes. See, and you know I fuck with it because I'm already like, and I got my cutting boards. and I think that is the difference, right? Because I totally feel you, Jono, on the point of like, in my 20s, I mean, half the time I'd be like, yo, motherfucker, I'm broke as shit. Like, I'm here, okay? Yeah. Like, y'all had a destination wedding and I'm here, okay? Yeah. I'll hook you up with some weed when we get back in town.
Me wearing a suit is the gift.
Right, exactly. or going in with my friends being like, okay, we'll go to Macy's where the registry's at and we'll each buy one of the hand towels. But we'll put them both together from both of us, so it looks like at least they got the whole set, but it's from two of us.
There you go.
But now, I think as you get older, your actual imagination for the kind of shit that you want expands because you're living a little more. If I got married in my 20s, I would have asked for a volcano vaporizer.
Stop it.
I'm serious. That's all. I would have been like, that's it. I don't need anything else. I'm like, I have plastic plates and shit. I'm good. Now I got nice drinking glasses, you know. What was the nicest thing for you, Jonah?
I mean, the thing I was most excited about was these knives. I got these Gustav Classic set. I mean, like, I cut my fingers so deep when I cut now. It's like...
bone, baby.
Yeah. Unless you're giving yourself a laceration, you don't have good enough knives. You're just getting a surface cut.
I feel like I got to find a friend to, like... going on a scheme and be like, girl, we gotta get married and then we'll just divide the gifts afterwards and go our separate ways. We don't have to tell anybody, but I could use a kitchen upgrade is all I'm saying.
Man, you could really scam some people. Just give yourself a fake destination wedding and like invite everyone you know and just say like, if you can't make it, here's our registry, it's fine. And then just go to Hawaii.
It's a 1 month journey to the venue, but no pressure, obviously. Most people can't come. Aside from the gifts, do you think there's any advantages to getting married in your 30s aside from your 20s?
Yeah, I mean, like, you just know you know who you are, and everyone else in their 20s is still figuring it out. So, like, you know, you can like have a better starting point for your relationship, where you're not just like but I mean, like, do you know how you do the chores? Do you know how you process your emotions? All that stuff is like, he's like, okay, I have a better starting place. I'm not like in the wilderness with like my own shit before my wife or husband or spouse at any point has to figure it out for me.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, still, you know, we're all growing still to this day, but
of course
it is easier. I would be an absolute mess if I got married 10 years ago.
Oh yeah. I would have. I mean, we probably would have split up before the wedding because we would have fought about gifts on the register.
Right.
Like, I would have been so juvenile and adolescent about it. Like, I probably would have like crossed a bridge by saying something stupid and like the fight. Like, why do we even need that? Like, you can't even cook and don't even act like getting this new pot is going to fix that.
No.
I need the cutting boards. Then I would have found my ass. My mom again, she's like, oh, you moving back in? I'm like, yeah, mom, she doesn't fucking get it.
Wow.
But yeah, I don't know. I think there is something a little bit more advantageous. I guess you do know yourself. That's why I'm always blown away by people who are like high school sweethearts. I'm like, y'all really made it through like your fucking late 20s?
Mm-hmm.
For real?
That's crazy. Especially now, because like my grandma did that when she was 19. She like snuck out her window and eloped to the boy who's her next door neighbor, and they met in like first or second grade.
Oh my God.
And they like snuck back into their windows at the end, like their separate windows at the end of the night, and didn't tell anybody for like a week or two. But you know, back in those days, like divorce, nearly unheard of. You know what I mean? Like, you're like, we did it. So we're in it.
And everyone had like stress based chronic illness. different eras we're in now, for sure.
Totally.
That's so romantic, though. Damn, you're over here being Isn't it? She eloped with the neighbor boy. I'm like, what is this? Some fucking Disney stuff?
Yeah.
So stinking cute. They're adorable.
That's the other thing. It's always like cute. There's never the like, man, it was fucked up and we just toughed it out together. Like, typically, it's like they're exceptional relationships. You're like, I was in love with him since third grade.
Yeah, you don't see the struggles after that, though. That's the thing. Like, that's the warmer movie version of it. It's like where they won the war, and then also they had to deal with a bunch of PTSD afterward.
Right, exactly. And they just raised a family, no problems, no problems at all. He sorted
best
out
from elementary school. Did that too when she was in second grade. She picked out a kid, and she was like, "I'm gonna marry that kid," and then she did.
Whoa!
And they're still. They got married when she was 20? Yeah, because she was having her first baby like a couple days after her 21st birthday. Just nuts. It was nuts. Four kids now.
Hey, I don't know how y'all do it, is what I'm trying to say. What's the secret? Aside from just being more afraid of being alone than being together forever? What is the secret? Please let us know.
Secretly just flame everybody.
Yeah. Listen. Solve the human struggle for us, please.
Right. That was honestly, you're like, yeah, I'm salty because that's how I used to always, that was, Miles used to be the salty loner guy. Who was like, I don't get this shit because I was like, I haven't sorted out my own parents' divorce yet. So I was more just like looking outside of myself. I'm like, that's the problem over there. I'm like, therapy? What? Huh? Oh, thank you. I need to do some forgiveness. Okay, got it. Anyway, shout out to Dr. Shamitra, my therapist. I know I haven't seen you in a minute, but that's because you're the shit. You know what I mean? Underrated, Jono. What is something you think is underrated?
The flip side of this, like being older when you get married is, and just older in general, is like the underrated is having joints that work. Because now I'm like, I have a brace now for every joint that I have. Like this, wow. this little thing on my wrist that is not a bracelet, that is a brace.
Oh,
I have to wear it because I have a torn TFCC ligament in my wrist.
Oh shit!
And like, yeah, I got it from doing. I do get all my injuries now from doing innocuous things. Like I have tennis elbow. I've never played tennis in 30 years.
Right.
So like, I just get it from like putting together furniture, or I got my wrist thing because my other buddy got married last year, and I was doing the Jewish chair row, the Hora Negila. And I just gripped it too hard, and he was too heavy, and so I was like supporting too much of his weight, and I was just like,
it was all in your tendons.
It was
basically
all in my wrist, and so now I have to wear a brace until it heals over the course of however many years, because nothing heals anymore. My heel doesn't heal. I have plantar fasciitis.
You have a heel that won't heal you.
Yeah,
oh my goodness.
I have Achilles tendonitis. I have plantar fasciitis. I got you name a joint, I got a brace for it. Stinks.
I will say, I do have a question. Do you have legal representation for your Hora-based injury that you experienced at your friend's wedding? Because I specialize in Hora-based injuries at weddings. I do people who are lifting the chairs. Also, brides and grooms that have fallen from the chair due to reckless Hora chair lifting. You know, I've seen them all, man. And I get, at minimum, $200 for my clients.
Mm.
At maximum, $300.
That's going to cover the gift.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's funny. The one thing I remember, like when I was starting, as I got older and like was really trying to connect like with my grandparents more, like in that meaningful way where you like acknowledge, you're like, oh, you know what? Their time's limited. Like, I really want to have like meaningful conversations. My grandfather would always say the same shit to me. He'd just be like, just stretch your body. Just stretch your body. That's all. He's like, honestly, keep your body loose. I know you think you can still move around like you think you can when you're wrong, until you do and you can't. He's like, so just maintain your limberness. And I was like, you always come back to that. Like, yes.
That's some wisdom right there. I wish I had.
I'll say Grandpa knows.
Yeah.
Grandpa knows.
And, you know, he used to dance, too. He was like, he'd like to dance to get his hips loose. But, you know, when you start hitting, when you go north of 85, and I'm not talking about the highway, it gets dodgy. All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back to talk some news.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Let's check in with the Department of Justice. Last week, there was a lot of announcements as it related to the January 6th trial. We had missing call logs for over 7 hours where, you know, if you were to believe the call logs, Donald Trump didn't speak to anyone on January 6th at all. And never heard of a burner phone either, because most people are like, okay, then he's using a burner phone. He's like, never. I don't even know who that is. I mean, I know the rapper, the MC Burner. But does that have anything to do with a burner phone? No. But yes, then we heard Jared Kushner went to go speak with the January 6th committee, and everyone was like, oh shit, that's like the closest to Trump that you're getting in terms of someone speaking to that committee. And it just felt like, okay, we're starting to see a lot of stinky shit, like, you know, where there's smoke, there's a fire at the Capitol. But things have been moving really, really slow. And I think, you know, the backdrop to all of this, like, sort of slow moving of this investigation, or at least the lack of energy from the perceived lack of energy from the DOJ, is that, you know, if the Democrats keep on their streak of like lukewarm policy hits or just straight up reversals on promises, you're looking at a very high likelihood of the GOP taking over the House and dissolving the January 6th committee. So you got about 9 months to figure this shit out. That's like the energy that's in the Democratic Party right now. And Merrick Garland on Friday, because everybody's been like, come on, fuck Merrick Garland, what the fuck are you doing? Like, we got all these people we've been sending, you know, referrals to the DOJ for contempt and you're not doing anything. He said on Friday, he's like, look, this isn't going to be a rushed prosecution. We're going to follow the facts exactly where they lead. And that's just about it. You know, just have some patience. And this is kind of like causing a lot of stress. And the DOJ will point to certain numbers, like, yeah, there have been over 750 arrests. There is someone has a seditious conspiracy charge. There have been almost 300 people that have been charged with obstructing Congress's duty. So, you know, things are happening, but you're like, well, when does the case begin to come together? And that's why Joe Biden is asking questions out loud now.
Yeah, that's like when Merrick Garland needs to take a page out of Brett Kavanaugh and Clarence Thomas about his Supreme Court nomination and just go on his own revenge tour. Because like Clarence Thomas has been on his revenge tour for like 2.5 decades now.
Right.
Four decades almost.
No, three. That was 91.
Something like that. And they brought up his pubic hair on the can. He's like, I'm gonna flame these guys forever. And I'm going to do it. And now we're reaping the whirlwind from his own revenge tour at the January 6th because his wife helped plan it and everything.
Right.
And Kavanaugh's burning it all down. Like they took a single slight and just went absolute war. And Merrick Garland got snubbed and should be doing the same thing, where it's like, oh, I have to be a serious bullet, blah, blah, blah. I'm just calling the balls and strikes. It's like, buddy, they're coming after you. There was a noose out there for Mike Pence. You think there's not one for you as soon as they take over? Everyone is in danger if you don't do your job a little faster.
Right. It is a little alarming, right? Because like you're saying, for how pressing this issue is, it seems like very casual, right? You know, this all signs point to total rat fuckery in the coming elections, because bigotry as a platform doesn't appeal to a majority of voters. It works very, strategically with how you gerrymander districts and have these certain like nailed on red seats. But overall, if everything was just put to a general election, it's a losing platform. So they're relying more on this underhanded shit. You look at the rally that Trump had over the weekend. He's like out here advocating for people in very specific roles that have to do with being able to determine election results or the adjudication of an election result. And so, yeah, I think that's why we're kind of curious of like, is it that he's being too scared that he doesn't want to utilize the full powers of the Department of Justice? Because a lot of people are like, yo, the Congress said, yeah, we're referring you to the Department of Justice because you're completely ignoring our subpoenas that are like lawful. And you're saying, yeah, I feel like in any other situation, like you get arrested or something, like, you know, that's, and again, we find ourselves in this weird spot where we're like, FBI, FBI. I'm like, well, no, let's not get too excited.
That's
about
a slippery
FBI
slope.
Here.
That's
horrible.
That's
know.
Like the weirdest, and it's the weirdest fucking sentiment. You're like, but fuck, these guys are out here cooking out in the fucking just plain view and putting out, it's very clear to see like what their aims are. But this is what Joe Biden said. This is from a New York Times article that just came out, just sort of like summing up what President Joe Biden is thinking about. It said, quote, as recently as late last year, Mr. Biden confided to his inner circle that he believed former President Donald Trump was a threat to democracy and should be prosecuted, according to two people familiar with his comments. And while the president has never communicated his frustrations directly to Mr. Garland, he has said privately that he wanted Mr. Garland to act less like a ponderous judge and more like a prosecutor who is willing to take decisive action over the events of January 6th. I like that, too. It's like, you're not going to tell him straight up, but you will have them leak it to the New York Times. So you have the thing like, I wish privately that this guy would get off his ass privately.
I would never say that because I'm president, but also...
Because I don't want,
It's messy, and it's sort of, I mean, not even sort of, it's genuinely frightening to be like, ooh, is our democracy going to hold? And for how much longer?
Yeah.
Is it time to leave? Oh, no.
And I wonder how many people really understand, like, how even wonkier, off-kilter the United States would be, like, when we fully fall into, like, the Federalist Society's like dream world, the Koch brothers' dream world. That's a fucking weird place too. But that's, you know, incremental. And then I think people will begin to, I guess, realize what's at stake in that sense. But a lot of people talk about, you know, Merrick Garland, you know, he has the pedigree for domestic terrorism. You know, he was able to get that conviction against Timothy McVeigh for the Oklahoma City bombing. And, you know, and many people are like, that was many years ago. And since that time, he's been mostly a judge, which is why this ponderous judge quote is coming out, because he is saying, I'm going to like look at every single thing. And a lot of people who know him say that's just how he works. Like he wants to make sure that if he's going to actually try and fucking go after the former president, that it has to be able to withstand an inevitable appeals process and has to be basically ironclad. And that's where I'm just like, oh, God, I don't know how optimistic I can be about that happening, just because the data set that I'm looking at when it comes to justice in the country, it's not very, doesn't reinforce my optimism, to say it.
I still feel like these things, like the one thing about, I mean, living in a republic and watching these things sort of play out is like, it does take time. And to do it correctly, it takes a whole lot of time. And so, but it's so hard to place your faith in these leaders, especially, I think, I don't even know if especially now, like kind of always has been difficult if you're a Black person. But for a lot of folks, just to like sit around and be like, are you doing the right thing? And we don't have a lot of time to wait.
Yeah.
And also wants you to be able to do this in court. It's very challenging.
It's like Mueller was like, they said like, oh, similar, methodical and not political, all that stuff. Where it's like, I'm just gathering facts. And like, he brought a pretty clear case, but then like, he also did it. Like, Merrick has to do it faster to do it in a time when something will be done about it. Because right. like, if and when like there's a political changeover, like the same thing with when Barr got Mueller's report, he's like, and none of that matters. And it was right. like not that big a deal. It's like, yeah, there's all this evidence right here of obstruction and all this collusion, all this stuff like that, but I'm not doing anything about it. So like, that's why you like not just have to be methodical and make sure it sticks, but like do it when there can be something done about it.
Right.
Because otherwise they're just going to sweep it under the rug. Like, this is the only, you bring this case or there's just going to be no more legitimate cases indefinitely. Like, you know,
right.
make it count, but do it fast.
And a lot of people say, like, don't worry. Like, you know, I get it. I know fuck all about how a federal prosecution works outside of what I read. So, like, I'm not going to be here and say, like, well, based on this, nothing's going to happen. Because some people seem to be heartened by the fact that it's clear that the scope of the investigation is widening to not just like being like the people who entered the building, but to be like, okay, who are the money people, who is actually dedicating time and money to like the infrastructure to get people, physical bodies there? What does that whole web of people look like? And also like this whole campaign to get a new slate of electors to try and overturn the election results. But I don't know. I mean, I'm after like the Robert Mueller thing, I'm just like, I don't know. Are people just going to start making merch until the inevitable like faltering of this investigation? And they're like, it's like, what do you even do with Garland? Like, there's nothing like, at least Mueller was like Miller time. He had time. Can we even do anything like actually witty with Merrick Garland?
Mary Garland's like the,
yes,
like
Christmas.
So he better release it. On like after, it'll probably be between when the Democrats lose power and before the Republicans actually take over, between November and January. Well, that's when it's going to drop.
Yikes.
You know how Republicans love to stop, like, well, we can't count it until this new group is in.
At this point, the Democrats are like, man, we're not going to fucking forgive student loan debts. Like, can you just like arrest these people by election day? That would help a lot, or at least expose them by then. So we don't have, people don't pay attention to our terrible shortcomings as a party, is what I'm sure a lot of Democratic leadership is worried about too.
Yeah.
So, it is what it is. Zeit Gang, let us know if you have any good Merrick Garland merch ideas. I'm really, is that more indicative of how like even the cynicism is for right. like libs? Is there even like, dude, can't even get excited for like a Merrick Garland merch idea? Because I even like libs are like,
we've already lost at that point if we're relying on the merch sales.
that's our metric. I'm like, based on these merch sales.
There used to be like a correlation with like the how bad a comedian was versus how long their merch pitch was. Just like, right. It's like, and here's this t-shirt from the fourth joke you heard, and then here's these koozies I'm selling, and then whatever. But anyway, buy my album, buy Midnight Oil, jokes.farm, bible.recipes.
Any good merch?
I mean, so the no one buys CDs anymore, like, and I only want to sell like album related stuff at after shows. So instead of CDs and download codes, I'm going to put the sticker, which is Prayer Candle Aesthetics, onto an actual prayer candle. And then give out download codes with it. So you can buy the album, but also be able to burn the Midnight Oil.
Wow.
Come on. Come on, Zeit Gang.
He's done it.
Burn some Midnight Oil with at jokes.farm.
There you go. Jokes.farm, y'all. Garland.sucks, y'all. Check it out. Okay, let's also check in just with Donald Trump's Truth Social, which is well and truly now, I think, we can finally lay it in the ground and set it on fire, at least from the perspective of what a usable app is. Now, I don't know if Trump will still hold on to this fantasy that it will be a Twitter revenge killer. Mm-hmm. But, you know, this was like his big thing. Since the tech companies basically banished him for
for, you know, all his seditious behavior, they were like, yeah, this isn't really for you. This isn't for you. So this was like his idea of being like, well, I've got something else coming. It's called Truth Social, and you can put your truth out there and retruth someone else's truth and like my truths. Cool. Great marketing. And you know what? The enthusiastic reception from his minions, for a second, I was like, oh, maybe this will be the one, because it wasn't the 9 other ones that came before this. Maybe this one, because it's Trump, this will work. And we talked about, again, the rollout. Disastrous. Most people, like hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people on wait lists. You could only get it through the Apple store. There was just, it was, and even if you were able to get onto the app, it was buggy as shit. And so this has basically recently sent Trump into a fury, since now a lot of people, like, it's now news that it, how bad this shit is, to the point where in this Daily Beast article, they said that someone brought up Truth Social, like, just to, as a topic to just address at this meeting. And it wasn't even like, oh, it sucks. Like, the words were uttered. And apparently Trump immediately pivoted to just talking about Hunter Biden's laptop. That's how bad he didn't want to talk about his failure of Truth Social. So let's just look at some numbers. Let's look at some data points here.
Yeah, you know, I love data.
Apptopia, who is the people who like really look at all the, you know, usage of apps and things like that, or they have a lot of analytics. They said that at its peak, Truth Social was doing about 170,000 downloads a day. Now, 8,000 at its, like, on a good day. That's yikes. The app is now just the 355th most popular app overall. That's, I think, also pretty bad. And I think the big thing, too, is like, if you have an app that's supposed to be a social media platform and you have users that you need to draw in, then you probably want to look at your active user numbers. So they are right around 513,000. Active users as of last week. Yeah, that's pretty good, right? Oh, wait, how many is Twitter? Oh, wait, Twitter has 217 million. Okay. yeah.
Nice.
Damn. But I guess, I wonder if, like, maybe that's an Apple by iOS bias. Like, once Android comes in, they're like, wait till Android comes in. And it's going to be 50 million off rip.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just, it's, again, terrible nosedive for the company. They were going to try and take it like public, and that, like, all of those dreams are going down the drain, because like the company that they were going to team up with, that stock price like first went up, and then once they heard, like, they saw the app, it just went so that dream is fizzling away. And the big thing that I think is really interesting about these apps, right, is that, like, once you even get on, and it's clearly just like this racist filled circus, like, that you're just like, what is going on? You encounter a lot of the right's most hated concept, censorship. Roger Stone got censored somehow last weekend on the app, because he, like, their algorithm that's, like, meant to, like, moderate just, like, swept up the word salad and was like, this is content warning. And a lot of people have been getting, like, bans or suspensions or content warnings, which is really odd, because that was, like, the whole reason for them leaving Twitter was just, like, I don't want to be censored type shit. But yet here they are, like, finding themselves in a, you know, illiterate shitposting Thunderdome. And
but also, as a company with so few people enrolled to use your product, you shouldn't be censoring anyone. You should just be seriously, like, yeah, be as flagrant as you want to be. Yeah. Like, just please stay on the app.
Be like 5chan. Be 6chan, they should have named it.
Right.
Go nuts.
They're really, and you know, it's a hard, this is always the problem, right? Because This was what was going on in the early days of all the other apps, is people get bored because people who don't think like them aren't on it. They're in an echo chamber, and their whole fun, their whole, like, fucking identity is based on transgressing acceptable norms for discourse.
Yeah.
That's their life's blood. So when they can't transgress and they're in, like, this place where it's just everybody agreeing with each other, the juice is gone, baby. Yeah. That's not fun. They want to make some lady who has, like, a New York Times tattoo cry into her NPR shopping bag. And that's, like, the fucking juice for them.
Yeah.
But because they don't have it.
Miles? I don't appreciate it. As if you've been in my closet. What are you doing?
First of all, more so it's like, well, we all know you got that New York Times tattoo.
Yes, totally.
Just a throat tat.
So proud of it. It's right on my
paper
bicep.
Of record. But, like, you know, that's, like, the thing that's really, I think they're not quite aware of as a as a people's, the conservatives, is that they don't realize that their whole thing is derived off of just being in complete opposition to something. It's not because they actually have their own worldview. It's just like, well, I'm just here to disagree with these other people who I perceive as maybe being happier than me or just different. So I'm angry.
Well, and the algorithm has been set for a long time to like already reverberate the things that you're thinking and putting out there.
Right.
So like they don't really have to worry too much about, you know, your sense of community is there on Twitter already. They don't need a second place to go.
Right.
Yeah. No, they're it's not so much, not so fun when there's no libs to own.
Right.
You know, it's like they're, you know, that old Alexander the Great quote is like, Alexander wept because there were no more worlds to conquer. It's like, and Jared Kushner wept because there were no more libs to own.
Right. Exactly.
And it's like they realize it's, and Trump, I think, like, knew probably all along that it wasn't going to work because he never posted on it, right? That's like the thing. He's that posted like what? Once. If he turned it into like just the Trump, if he named it Trump Social and it was just his new version of Twitter where people could go and see what he would be tweeting, I'm sure he'd probably do a lot better, but he probably didn't have any confidence in it.
No, in this article, they said he wasn't using it because he wanted it to be a hit first.
Ah, he doesn't want to get caught trying. That's the thing.
He doesn't know how to be a leader? What?
Yeah, well,
know how to look, start things.
That's so funny. He like
inspire,
you know,
the masses.
The story about how he named Don Jr. and he was like apparently opposed to it. It was like, what if he's a loser? I don't want him to have my name.
Like the bar is pretty low, fam.
Yeah, come on.
So, I mean, at least he's out there with his use of stimulants, not being a secret uppers user allegedly, like the president was. But yeah, like it really is their whole. It's the same thing you see, too, when, like, the Republicans are in power. Like, they just don't know what to do with all of it because their whole thing is just kind of like, it's all about self-victimization and being like, oh, look, they don't like this now. They don't like that now. And it's sort of that same sort of sense of being lost. I mean, clearly they have an agenda that they're like evangelicals and titans of industry set them to D.C. with. But, you know, it's kind of like this vibe with them always starting their new places, like safe spaces, because like the popular ones don't have them. It's like people who get like thrown out of a bar and then like they're like, yeah, well, you know what, me and all the other fucking jerks who get thrown out of this nice bar are gonna start our own fucking bar and it's gonna be fucking better than this place because we're not gonna do shit like take care of the bar or make sure the glasses are clean and you can drink out of them or that the liquor we serve is even actual liquor and not fucking window cleaner in a Belvedere bottle. That's what we're going to do. And then they get to their little fucked up bar and they're like, yo, this place fucking sucks, man. It's almost like you need these things in place to make sure it's a place worth going to in the first place. Otherwise, it's just your fucking, you know, tantrum sandbox. And it's
They don't know how things work. They know how things won't work. Like they're very skilled at like knowing how to subvert democracy, like how to replace the election officials at every like level so that no one gets democratically elected. But like once they're elected, they're like
I was here for the fucking shit up part.
I was brought in to destroy the other bar, not create my own.
Oh, yeah, I don't know how to build anything. Yeah, I just know how to knock shit over and, like, break stuff. Yeah, I can't build anything worth a fuck. Oh, yeah, because it speaks to my deeper sense of being impotent or powerless because I don't have the imagination or wherewithal to build. I have to destroy. Okay, let's take a quick break, and we'll come back, and let's check in with the Grammys.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to talk about and go through all the things that are sometimes difficult to process alone. We're going to go over how to regulate your emotions, diving deep into holistic personal development, and just building your mindset to have a happier, healthier life. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
And basically have conversations that can help us get through this crazy thing we call life.
I already believe in myself. I already see myself. And so when people give me an opportunity, I'm just like, oh, great, you see me too.
We'll laugh together, we'll cry together, and find a way through all of our emotions. Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Grammys. Anybody watch it?
No.
Cool. Moving on. there's some stuff that you should have put in your refrigerator door. Oh, okay.
No, I was going to say, I watched it like I watch everything through my Twitter timeline, which essentially just so it was like, BTS is here, Megan Thee Stallion, Halsey wore super dope hat.
Right.
Oh.
Lady Gaga helped SZA with her dress.
Why was SZA wearing a tight dress and on crutches? A 9-foot train and crutches upstairs? How she didn't have an accident? Hand to God, that was a miracle. Like, we witnessed a miracle last night because any normal person would have fallen down and busted their neck. And the other thing, Anderson .Paak was cosplaying as which R&B star with that wig? I think it was one of the Isleys.
That didn't even come up in my text group.
It was like a bowl cut, straight hair. It's like an iconic R&B person's 70s haircut.
He kind of looks like fucking who was Tina Turner married to? Ike.
Yeah.
Not him trying to be Ike Turner, right?
I don't. He's definitely cosplaying as somebody, which I think is getting a little messy. Like Bruno Mars was smoking a cigarette while accepting the award. I was like, that can't be allowed in that theater. As we said last week, we don't really trust the Grammys. Yesterday, we were like, you can't really trust the Grammys. They don't know who to give awards to. It's really about money/connections. It's a messy award show. And that's saying something this year in a year of incredibly messy award shows.
Yeah. I didn't catch the Anderson .Paak thing. The other thing I saw was the two things that first cropped up on my text threads. People being like, are y'all watching? And I was like, no. And then someone's like, President Zelensky is talking.
Oh, that happened Grammys. Too.
And I was like, oh, what? Yes. And so I watched it. It's just so, that was like the very, very surreal moment where you have a president of a country who's in the middle of a war trying to fight back a Russian invasion, where he's being like, I hope the people of Ukraine know the freedom of those of you on the Grammy stage. And this guy is he's up there just trying to get more people's attention on the atrocities happening in Ukraine. Especially like now we're seeing this news of like the executions of civilians and more and more like credible allegations of like assault against citizens from like the Russian soldiers and things like that, that there's like real dark, real shit going on. And then for that to happen in like a room full of people who are like least likely to be plugged into geopolitical events, it was just like, it felt like he had become a meme in that weird way. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you got to do something woke and have President Zelensky give a quick shout out before Lady Gaga does some smooth jazz singing.
It was like the Steve Buscemi is like, hello, fellow kids.
Yeah, it just felt odd. Like, you know, it's like it's a very weird emotional juxtaposition of like things, right? Because like on one hand, people are celebrating their achievements as musicians, as artists. Yeah. And then this guy comes on is like, yeah, man, the world's really fucked up. Just so you know, like he said something to the effect of the musicians in Ukraine now don't wear tuxedos. They now wear they wear fatigues, and they now serenade the injured soldiers, and like, you know, really powerful, like about a minute and a half speech he gave. And then just right back into the pageantry. It just felt,
It definitely feels off. But there's also something about how, I don't know how many people watch the Grammys now, but this, like, I know a lot of people are avoiding the news just as a self-preservation tactic, which I understand needing to take that in small doses, but I also feel like this is perhaps something that we should definitely not be ignoring. And so I understand like wanting to give that space, but I do think there's probably a better way to bring that in and come back out to our like very gaudy paid for award ceremony.
Right.
I don't know how to do that, and also maybe like launch the show with that bit of a downer.
Right.
But also like before we get into anything tonight, we want to
eat your vegetables first.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Then have just all the dessert you want, like honoring Louis C.K.'s comedy album.
Oh, yikes.
And we talked about this when the nominations came out, everyone was like, cancel culture, who?
Yeah. Truly. Louis C.K.
is over here getting nominated and winning. Okay.
And then winning.
Kanye and Marilyn Manson, Kanye featuring Marilyn Manson win a Grammy for their track.
Damn.
Jail. You're like, hold on, y'all should be in jail. I mean, I don't wish jail on anybody, but you know what I'm saying here. Y'all should be banished from the good places where people go, is what I mean to say.
He was banished to Ukraine during wartime. Remember that, where like Louis C.K. was supposed to be performing in Kyiv, like the night of the invasion?
Oh, really?
I do remember that. Yes.
Like the show, like it was one of those things where it's like he was supposed to perform there and they didn't say it was canceled. Oh, and so like people thought he was like giving a big concert hall performance of comedy as bombs were falling. But I think apparently like it wasn't true. It was like, yeah, of course I was out of there. What are you talking about? That'd be funny if like Zelensky plugged him and was like, my boy Louis, he visited me during wartime. You should all check it out.
God, this is all getting fucked up now. don't do all that. But yeah, I mean, I think just kind of a surreal moment. And then you see all of like that weird emphasis, like the Will Smith, Chris Rock discourse is continuing still with people being like, it's not enough.
You got to slap anybody who talks about it. Like that's a new rule. Right. Like, why would you bring this up here? And now stop. It's over. Don't talk about it anymore.
Where's your energy for the Grammys, everybody? You know?
Yeah. Where is
all the energy for the, okay, but that's why you see people exposing themselves with what they're giving their energy to. That's what I'm saying.
Like Netflix deciding to put his movie on hold, but getting Dave Chappelle more specials. Right. Wild.
One demographic that could benefit from like some moral clarity is like the youth, you know, like Tisha was like, hey, there are consequences for your action, but like not really.
Yeah,
exactly.
So. Exactly. It's a surreal moment. But I did see Olivia Rodrigo dropped her Grammy, one of her Grammys, and broke it. So I like
that's always enjoyable.
Like that. Yeah,
relatable.
Yeah, she's going to get a new one. But I just like the idea of like, oh, shit. Like,
if, with so many musicians in that crowd, someone should be able to like re-put together the Curb theme song. Just like,
just on kazoos. See, that's what we need. See, that would have been sick. All those musicians, everyone has kazoos. And you just do these like rousing, like 10,000 person renditions of songs and shit. I see, Jono, we're already producing a better show for next year. Oh, man. And then lastly, I just want to touch on this article I was reading in The Takeout that their writer, Angela Pagan, was just pointing out that the article is called Keep These Items Off Your Refrigerator Door. And I was like, what the fuck? Hold on. Like, is this a real thing? Now, I do want to say, before we talk about this, this isn't to say, like, you'll die if you keep certain food items on your refrigerator door. But it's more so, I was educated on what the refrigerator door kind of is, right? So, right now, I don't know what, I guess let me go around. What do y'all have on your refrigerator door?
Okay, what eggs, items? Butter, sauces, any kind of, like, drink. You know, lots of cans and or bottled drinks. Okay. Sometimes, you know, if a carton of, you know, the oat milk might fit in there. Mm-hmm. Parents used to have a fridge that had a gallon milk holder on the side of it, which I was like, brilliant.
Wait,
right?
What do you mean?
Crazy.
Wait, what's a gallon milk holder?
So like the door was structured in such a way that it could hold a gallon of milk in this like square pop-out thing. Yeah.
Okay.
It's those things.
Mm-hmm. Okay, sauces, some butter, some egg stuff. What about you, Jono? What's on your fridge door?
Real quick to clarify, when you said it was on the door, I thought you meant like the magnets on the outside of it. It's just saying like, your fridge doesn't have the right mindset. Hang in there, baby. No, get something like destroy today, okay?
Right.
Start your coffee. Throw this creamer in your coffee and get going, bish. It's like that, Your nephew's baby picture isn't cute enough. Get it? Your milk's going to go bad.
That goes to the side at best.
But yeah, all my condiments are on the door. All my condiments and a bunch of drinks like LaCroix and what have you.
Same. All my hot sauces are there. My salad, my Japanese cooking sauces that I use to turn up my dishes and things. That all goes on the door. Butter. But here's this very interesting thing that they were saying that actually, things like milk and eggs should not be on the refrigerator door. And I'm not saying should not be because you will die because shout out to all of us who have been doing this and I'm fine. But the refrigerator door is actually the place that offers the least consistent like cooling.
That's fair. Mm.
So like the second you open it, it's getting all of the warm air just washing over it. While everything that's on the shelves on the proper interior of the refrigerator, that's where your milk should go. Where your eggs should go. Okay. That's what you need to put that stuff in there. One thing this is an interesting debate, and I bring this up is this, they point to another article that was all about things that can or can't, don't have to be refrigerated. Ketchup and mustard.
Mm-hmm.
Do y'all put your ketchup and mustard in the refrigerator, or do you live like you see it at the restaurant where that shit is never refrigerated?
Mm. Mustards, I tend to freeze. Barbecue sauces, ketchups.
Wait, freeze?
Not freeze, sorry. Oh, open the refrigerator. Like, that would be wild. I like my mustard sliced and to like slowly warm up on my sandwich.
Oh my God. Could you imagine?
Shave it on rice cream? Just shavings? Yeah.
Oh, like on a microplane?
Yeah.
Like dipping dots of fucking mustard.
Oh my gosh. No, I put it in the fridge and then like barbecue sauces and ketchup and stuff is usually like in a cabinet.
Jono, you refrigerate your ketchup, mustard, or do you?
Yeah. I mean, because we also like use it. I think with restaurants, they use like one over like the course of 3 days. Like I'm using a thing of mustard and ketchup over the course of a year and a half. So
Right. But you know what? They were saying you can still let that shit cook on the shelf.
Really?
You know, doesn't have to be.
I mean, it's not a good indicator about what's in ketchup and mustard that it's able to sit at room temperature.
It's all preservatives. It's all sugar. That's all. But it's perfect. Doesn't go bad. But part of me, like, I kind of like cold ketchup sometimes. Mm, there's something about cold. I'm weird. See, look.
I'm from Chicago. I don't even touch ketchup. Like, I'm just not familiar with her. But the idea of cold tomato paste.
It's It's cold sweet goo. It doesn't taste like tomatoes. Come on now. It says red sugar goo that we put on all of our food. Wait, you don't use ketchup? I mean, I know it's absolute criminal to have ketchup on a hot dog, obviously. And I know that's where that sort of hostility towards ketchup emanates from in the great state of Illinois. But you're saying because of that, that's generally just puts you off to ketchup all
I'll have ketchup on anything. Like, I'm not a ketchup on a fries, ketchup anywhere. I've never bought a bottle of ketchup.
Wow. Justin, engineer Justin, also from Illinois, said ketchup is for children.
Yes.
And you know what? Well, then call me forever young, Justin. So that's my secret, because I'm regularly spiking my sugar levels by just downing cold ketchup.
Ketchup is for children, but like, spiced ketchup is for adults. I have that sriracha ketchup or like those other like spicier ones that add a twist to it.
Right. Okay. Just a slight
I
twist
like a sriracha.
Sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She and I are friends.
Wow. And then Justin, I'm guessing you don't use ketchup either at all. Okay. That's fine. No. I don't.
We're barbecue people. Sauce. Yeah.
Oh, so you'll swap out barbecue for ketchup context items? Like,
oh, yeah. 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 Barbecue sauce on fries.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Good. Okay. That's fine.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Is this the difference of brown sugar? Now I'm thinking like what goes into ketchup versus brown versus barbecue sauce.
Get a little molasses. Depends on how you make it. Sure. You know?
Okay. Yeah. It's tastier.
Yeah. Look, fine. I can handle that. I mean, and not even to say I was even like, you don't use ketchup at all, but I shout out to people who are just built like that, you know?
Yeah.
Unlike me, I picked up a horrible habit from this kid I went to school with who would eat every bite, like when we would go to like McDonald's or wherever, In-N-Out, every bite was at least two packets of ketchup.
Ew.
Inundating the burger with ketchup. Every bite was just like two packets per bite. And, you know, we would get high. So like, I also was like, man, this person's leading me down the wrong path. I'm like, yeah, shit looked good as fuck. And it took like years later, someone I was dating to be like, you have to stop eating a burger like that in front of me. And this wasn't even Her Majesty who I'm married to now. This is someone else who was looking out for me. Shout out to you. Who was just like, that's not a good look for you. And I was like, okay, you're right. Maybe, I do look like a child who didn't. Yeah. You look like someone who grew up without, like, where ketchup was completely banished from your home and you fetishized it as a result. And I'm like, okay, that's enough.
Your dad left when he went to go get out some ketchup and never came back.
Oh, no.
And that's why, okay? That's why I'm like this, Alexis. You see that? Now, please leave me alone. All right. Well, that's a little bit of truth for everybody. Jono, thank you so much for stopping by today. Always a pleasure having you, man. Where can people find you and follow you? And where can they see you? And what's a tweet that you like?
You can follow me on @JonoZalay on everything, basically. I'm on TikTok now. I got a new, I've been posting videos from my albums. Therapy's getting some traction on there. The kids connecting with the youth. You can get my album at Bible.recipes. You can catch me. I have a monthly show where I'm actually doing my album release show on April 11th in Los Angeles, if you live in the area. It's the Blind Barber Secret Show in Highland Park. Go to barbersecretshow.com for that. And, or, you know, as I said, Bible.recipes. And a tweet I really liked, it was I know it's too bad to talk about it now, but when it actually happened about the Will Smith slap, my friend Andrew Slater, who also has an album coming out soon, you can check that out, is if comedians got slapped every time they made an old movie reference, then 90% of the people I follow on here wouldn't have teeth.
Yeah, that's me too. Well, that's all I know. I only know old movies.
We only know movies. That's fine.
That's all I know. That's all I know. Oh, shit. Joelle.
Hey.
Thanks for being here. Thanks for hanging out. Hey, you know, I'm starting to make my way through the Marvel movies and movies in general. I just saw Dune over the weekend.
Oh, wow. My gosh.
That's just,
oh my gosh.
Man, sound design fucked me up.
Yeah, and it won the award, so you know it was good.
Dude, I'm sorry. I'm 9 months late to this conversation, but that one, the Kingsguard people, those mercenary people, and like they had that like one dude be like, beer, boy, bingo, beer, bingo. That shit, I was so high, I got like child freaked out. Like, I hadn't felt more scared of a scene. Like, the last time I was scared like that by a movie, I was, like, 6 years old. So,
oh my God. Have you seen The Batman yet?
About to. That's next.
Okay. Get real fucking high for that and enjoy. Amazing.
Yeah. And I even saw, I saw two Spider-Mans. You know, I'm trying to put that work in right now.
Miles, almost you. Ready for the big time. Holland. I can't wait. You have to have all breakdown conversation.
I know. I feel like while you're here, I should just crank them out so like I can be like, yo, what happened in that movie?
Yes. We're having a conversation at the end of this week. I'm ready.
Our new podcast called 3 Years Late. Joelle, thanks again so much for being out here. Again, where can people find you, follow you? What's a tweet that you like?
I'm Joelle Monique. You can follow me all over the internet at Joelle Monique. That's JoelleMoniqueUE. Because of Jono's, Bible.recipes, I was trying to find the site and I stumbled upon something called justapinch.com, which has something called a scripture cake. My favorite thing about this recipe is that all of the items are listed as Bible verses. So you have to go read the Bible verse to figure out what the item is to put in your scripture cake. Amazing. The dedication, the opportunity to learn while you're making something is just truly, truly brilliant and inventive. So if you're interested, you can go find that at justapinch.com. Two tweets I like. Reductor said, wow, this woman asked her coworker to cover her shift without sending a 6-paragraph essay explaining why and how she can make it up to them. A beautiful and succinct tweet that all women will understand. It is so hard to ask for a favor. And then Mary Wilson at The Mary Wilson tweeted, I forgot I said something and my child turned to me and said, my hippocampus wasn't big enough, so that's enough school for him. And just, the way children will just blame you, it's so brutal.
Oh, shit.
Neuroscience.
Times.
That's great. Some tweets I like. First one is from Zach McKee. At McKee Zach tweeted, there's a difference between being happy and being distracted from sadness. Very, very
Shut
good
up.
Point.
Don't hit me with that. I'm not prepared mentally for that.
Hey, but you know what? When you realize that shit, you have to be so honest with yourself. And that's the hard part, is because typically we distract ourselves from being sad because the other part is like really trying to honor whatever our actual needs are. And that shit can be jarring for a number of reasons. So I don't know. I felt that in my spirit. And then another one from Megan Gailey at Megan Gailey just tweeted, because I felt this one because our teams are not in contention anymore in the playoffs. Not that the Lakers really gonna do anything, but tweeted, with the Pacers out of the playoffs, I will be dedicating myself to Ja and the Grizzlies. Mm-hmm. So Ja, Rastafari, I see. Look, it's going to be them or the Bulls. That's what I'm
Come on. You better root for my Bulls until they're out. Okay?
And you know what? We need all the help we can get. My family's from Chicago. And shout out to Bald Mamba, Caruso.
My king was just out here really hustling, working every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those like things where it's like, you want to feel old? The Bulls have been longtime underdogs.
Right. I know. Like when I'm like a parent, I'm like, the Bulls actually used to be, when I was a boy, the strongest team in the land. They're like, oh my God, Grandpa, shut up about the Bulls already. Anyway, so you can find those things there. You can find me at Miles of Gray on Twitter and Instagram. Also check out the basketball podcast. Miles and Jack have Mad Boosties. Or got Mad Boosties. Sorry, let me use the proper title there. Wherever you get your podcasts, and also 420 Day Fiance with Sophia Alexandra. You can find us at Daily Zeitgeist on Twitter, The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes.
Footnotes!
Thank you. Where you can check out all the articles we talk about, as well as the songs we write out on. And you know what? I just want to go out on some Billy Cobham. Billy Cobham is, one of the great fusion jazz drummers. And I would kind of just, I first got into it because I was just like really into people just shredding on drums. And then, but then fusion has like this weird calming feeling. And that's what I think we need on this Tuesday, some calming music. And this track is called Siesta/Wake Up/ That's What I Said by Billy Cobham. Just a nice jazz fusion track. Real calm, real easy. Again, more background music. You don't need to, don't turn up too hard yet. It's still early in the week. All right. We'll talk to you later to catch you on the trending episode. Until then, we'll see you later. Bye.
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 There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming.
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Get emotional with me, Radhi Devlukia, in my new podcast, A Really Good Cry. We're going to be talking with some of my best friends.
I didn't know we were going to go there on this.
People that I admire.
When we say listen to your body, really tune in to what's going on.
Authors of books that have changed my life.
Now you're talking about sympathy, which is different than empathy, right?
Never forget, it's okay to cry as long as you make it a really good one. Listen to A Really Good Cry with Radhi Devlukia on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.